Hey marketers, if you want to get the latest news, trends, and insights in marketing, advertising, and tech, check out the Adweek Podcast Network. Learn from leading voices across media and marketing with original shows like Yeah, That's Probably an Ad, Marketing Vanguard, and Tech Magic with Kathy Hackle. Start listening now by searching Adweek wherever you listen to podcasts.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/generate to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/generate. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Hey there, are you ready to elevate your personal brand or company? Meet Viral Growth, your one-stop shop for video content and audience building. Imagine growing your brand organically on social media without the hassle of editing videos for hours. With Viral Growth, it's a breeze. They handle the brainstorming, scripting, and editing while you simply just hit record. And don't worry about your niche. They cater to everyone, from business and marketing to health and wellness. Are you ready to make waves in the social media realm? Visit viralgrowth.io and use code ADWEEK, that's ADWEEK, all lowercase, and get 10% off your plan.
You're listening to Yeah, That's Probably an Ad, the show that takes a look at film, technology, pop culture, fraudsters on their redemption arc, because in the end, everything is an ad. Hello, I'm Shannon Miller, the managing editor of Creativity, Creator Economy, and DEI. Welcome back to a brand new episode of Yeah, That's Probably an Ad, the first for 2023. This is a little bit late, but happy new year to you listening at home. We have a very exciting episode today. Joining me are two big fan favorites. And for me, they are medium favorites. Just kidding. Just kidding. I love them very much. Colin Daniels, one of our digital editors. Hello.
Hello, guys. I'm so glad you guys let me come back. You know, I got to give my fans what they want.
We can't. We can't start the year this way. We're going to very much have to tone it down. And one of our best reporters, you know her, you love her, Emmy Lederman. Emmy, hi.
Well, I really thought you were going to keep this, like, humility arc for me when you were just like, you're a medium favorite. But that introduction really just brought me back up. So, hello. So happy to be here.
I am so glad that both of you could join me in our first episode of the new year. And my God, we are starting with one hell of a topic. I humbly feel that in terms of industry coverage, you find the best and most in-depth at Adweek. However, this article that Emmy wrote really took the cake and just started the year off on a banger of a note. And I'm so excited to be able to dig into this with you on the air. The title is "These Agencies Are Welcome Firefest Fraudster Bill McFarland Home from Prison." God.
Welcome back, babe. Let's work together.
This is, I mean, I don't even know how to describe this story. It's just utterly mind-boggling. And for you to be the one to dig into it, I mean, it was just a perfect combination of so many things: information, candid observations, snark, a lot of confounding details. There's just a lot to parse through here. Can you give us a summation of what's happening here?
So I'm not exactly sure. When you say what's happening here, I don't even really know where to start. But I will tell you that I was approached by someone who, well, his name's Alejandro. He runs Unconfined, which is one of the agencies that Billy is working with. I hadn't even known at the time that he was released from prison. It was a little bit before, like, the New York Times feature came out, and just it was widely known that he was on the streets again. And he told me that about the partnership. He was very excited about the partnership, excited to be a part of his redemption tour. So then I ended up reaching out to Billy's publicist, who sort of specializes in crisis management. And I feel like crisis is sort of a generous way to put it in this circumstance. And he connected me with Billy. I met up with him. It took me about 10 minutes to get to the coffee shop where he was, which was just a little bit not very comfortable for me. And yeah, so it was quite a wild ride.
So basically, he is trying to, I mean, it's really hard to summarize exactly what he's trying to do, because it's not even like this is a person who's like made like a small mistake and is like trying to right a wrong. Something that's like smaller, that's a little bit more to sort of levy out. This was a huge, huge thing, Firefest. And it's like one of those things where you say Firefest and it has such a cultural a stamp that you don't even need to go into further details. But in case you forgot, Firefest was this huge, huge event that was going to be thrown on the which island was it?
Was it
Bahamas?
The Bahamas, yeah.
So was it the Bahamas?
Yeah.
So this was supposed to be this very glossy event. It was supposed to be like, the best way to put it is like Coachella on like steroids.
And
like,
all the celebs were posting about it, like Gigi, Kendall.
Yeah, and they're going to be like hogs, like free-ranging hogs. these amazing amenities, only to find out that contractually everything fell through. You basically left hundreds of very frazzled influencers stranded, very much stranded on the side. But worst of all, you like essentially devastated this community that used up all their resources to make this festival a thing, from building these elaborate sets to providing food to opening up their businesses, housing, and left them financially stranded. This had such a huge, huge cultural impact. So one, for him to be free so soon after, that's one topic. And then now he is on this ridiculous redemption arc. Colin, what did you first think when you first heard this story?
Like, I remember when Emmy first brought it up, I was like, yo, he's out? Like, I was expecting, I don't know, for him to be there so much longer, because we're talking about, like you said, so many influencers, so many finances. Like, this wasn't just like I robbed a Toys R Us and threw Jeffrey down the flight of stairs. Like,
yeah,
you pulled together so much money and resources. And so just for him to be out, like you said, so quickly, and like it's like, here we go. Let's try to fix it. Like, let me get some agencies to help me rewrite my wrongs. It's like, sir, like, have you properly processed what you did and how it impacted so many people on a large scale? Like, this wasn't just a small crime.
Right. And it wasn't ever properly righted. Like, it really came down to the public having to come to the aid of some of the like restaurateurs that basically were like, we strapped all of our resources and finances into providing food for all of these people, and we're still in financial ruin. The relief came from the public, like the bleeding hearts of the public. There was never an official right there. So to see this person say, like, oh, I've changed my ways, and to have agencies facilitate this is a little bit mind-boggling, or not a little bit mind-boggling, a lot of bit mind-boggling. Yeah. I think this is probably one of my favorite lines from this deep dive that Emmy did, which I heavily recommend you all reading, is, while some shops see his new business as an intriguing challenge, reputation management consultants chairman Eric Schiffer dubbed it a lotto ticket to potentially hell.
he threw in the potentially in there because he's like, you know what, I'll give him a shot, but, you know, potentially hell. I think that it's also very telling that after he was released, and within the time frame of him pitching this brand, which also he's calling Pirate, P-Y-R-T. that's a whole other story.
Yeah, like, that's another segment.
That's another can of worms. He has already lied, and people are calling him out on his lies, and not to mention his friend in there that he met in prison, who he didn't know was a registered sex offender, was involved in – he got him involved and then claimed that he lied about his crimes. And I'm like, really, can't you just do a quick Google search and find out, like, that this guy's a sex offender? So anyway – there's just so much wrong here. And also, he told people on the Full Send podcast, he went on there, and he told them that the Bahamas, like, were embracing the idea. They loved the idea of him working there again. And actually, I think 10 days before he said that, the Bahamas government was like, this guy is a fugitive.
Right. He released an official statement saying that,
yes,
this man is still very much a fugitive here. And so how are agencies getting involved in this, and why?
So I think that there's a few different reasons. One is that the obvious choice of, like, all press is good press. Like, they want to sort of make a name for themselves. A lot of these shops, you know, we don't have, like, WPP or Omnicom agencies involved. It's more independent, smaller advertising agencies. So, or it's branding agencies, or there's an agency that specializes in, like, metaverse NFT activations. It seems like these people trust him for some reason, and think that he's actually focused on restitution and it's something that he can do. And again, I just think that it's a buzzworthy decision, and they have comfort in the fact that he's no longer manning the finances. And I just think this guy is, like, super manipulative and really knows how to schmooze, clearly, but, like, he continues to know how. And he's effectively created kind of like a sob story and a redemption arc that people are clinging on to.
So another favorite line of mine is, the business is about showing people they can do what they didn't think was possible. McFarland told Adweek, positioning himself as a charmingly ambitious entrepreneur instead of a seasoned con artist.
It's like, what?
I was so proud of that line, because, like, when he said it to me, when he was like, trying to position himself as, like, this inspirational guy who is just has these very, like, trite sayings, I was like, I don't know if you understand, like, the context of what you're saying. So I just had to reflect that in that sentence.
Well, first of all, great job. Second of all, can you tell us a little bit about talking to this person personally, talking to this person face-to-face, or whatever mode? What was it like actually having a dialogue with this famous, famous fraudster?
Well, my tactic when it comes to interviewing controversial people is to be, like, overly friendly, because I think that allows them to tell – that makes them want to tell me more things. Like, it's kind of like an Alex Cooper-esque call her daddy strategy. So I met with him, and we were just, like, kind of talking about, like, the fact that we're both from New Jersey, like, bonding. I don't want to be canceled for saying I'm not in my bonding with Billy McFarland era. Like, I just want to make that clear. But he was very, like, visibly nervous, which was kind of like an ego boost, but at the same time was confusing, because I was like, he's done all of these press interviews. I don't think that this one is special. And then he was talking to me about his time in solitary confinement. He actually went to solitary confinement for trying to record a podcast from prison, which I just find especially funny. So,
well, we are certainly going to dig more into this for a little bit longer. But before that, let's take a bit of a break. We'll be right back.
Hey there, podcast fam. Are you ready to break free from the social media rut? Hold on to your hats because we've got just the thing for you. Meet Viral Growth, your one-stop shop for leveling up your online presence. Whether you're a personal brand or a company, they've got the tools and know-how to take you to the next level. With Viral Growth, forget about those endless hours of video editing. They handle everything from brainstorming to polishing your content so you can just focus on being awesome. And guess what? We're hooking you up with a sweet deal. Use code ADWEEK for 10% off when you sign up. Ready to take your social media game to the next level? Head on over to viralgrowth.io and let's turn those digital dreams into a reality.
My dad works in B2B marketing, but I never really knew what that meant. Then one day, my dad came by my school for career day and told everyone in my class he was a big MQL man. Then he just kept saying things like, the more MQLs, the better, over and over. My friends still laugh at me to this day. I think it means marketing qualified lead. One thing's for sure, I'll be known as the MQL man's kid for the rest of my days. Why couldn't you just be a fireman or a lawyer? Why? You ruined my life, Dad.
Not everyone gets B2B, but LinkedIn has the people who do. And with ads on LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people based on job title, industry, likelihood to buy, and more. Start converting your B2B audience into high-quality leads today. We'll even give you a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/generate to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/generate. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
And we are back, and we are continuing our conversation with Emmy Lederman and Colin Daniels. So, Colin, I know that you have a little bit of a PR background or have had a lot of experience with PR. And, you know, there is no shortage of controversial people who try their damnedest to sort of make their way back into the good graces of the public. What is the key to, like, if you are an agency or you are a brand and you find yourself, you know, at a crossroads and you have an opportunity to link with these people who are high profile and could bring some serious attention to your brand or your work, what would you say is the key to drawing a hard line when it comes to finding someone controversial versus like irredeemable and kind of untouchable?
Well, I feel like the key to it, number one, is for if you're ever dealing with a client or somebody who's done something on this scale, is to not try to paint and act like it never happened, because then people are like, what are you doing? Like, we all know, we all, like, the call's coming from inside the house. Like, we all saw this.
Yeah.
So the key to doing it is, like, being like, hey, like, I know what I did was wrong, and I don't want any sympathy or sorrow for it, but I do want to know that, like, I have learned, and it's all through actions at the end of the day. Like, people want to see, like, okay, well, what are you going to do to redeem it? So if you did that, like, people are going to be like, oh, is he going to be donating to charities? Is he going to be, like, volunteering, still doing here? Like, what are his – well, how is he really going to show that he's sorry for it? So at the end of the day, like, agencies, like, if you're ever dealing with somebody on a scale that's done something like this, you want them to first admit that they were wrong and not try to be like, well, like, I thought this would do this, or like, no, just like flat out admit what you did, that it was wrong, and like take full ownership over the dialogue.
So do you feel like there is a point that there is like a potential turnaround point? Like, there are certain things that are like absolutely inexcusable, irredeemable. You can't come back from it. Is there a way for a Billy McFarland, not necessarily the Billy McFarland, but for the one of many Billies that are allegedly trying to get back on the path of right? Do you feel like it's possible?
I feel like it's definitely possible with anybody. Like, I don't believe in that we should just cancel everybody after they do one wrong. Like, I do believe that if somebody's continually doing it after you've told them, or you say like, hey, like, that's not okay for you to scheme or do whatever, swipe or no swiping, like, after that, if they keep doing it, they need to just go. But if they're like, hey, like, now I know this is wrong and I want to show you all that I want to make this right, or I want to justify myself again, that's when we can give them another chance. But if they keep repeatedly doing the wrong thing after we've told them, like, hey, don't do that, then that's when I'm like, get out.
Yeah, especially when it has an impact on so many. There mm-hmm. has to be a point of restitution that's met before we can even begin to talk about any sort of arc or any sort of potential path forward. If you have people that are still devastated by your actions, your series of actions, like, it's not even like this was like one thing. It was a collective of fuck up that involved a lot of incredible mistakes that were so, so avoidable. And, you know, there's no way for the public to forget about that because it was such a spectacle. That's not a word. Spectacle.
Zesty.
Such a spectacle. There are two documentaries about it. You can't really hide from this. And there's no way to shift the narrative that is already very set in the cultural zeitgeist. But if you are able to show that there's that restitution point, then maybe you have an opportunity to. One of the other concerns that I have is, you know, I from an agency standpoint, I couldn't imagine, not that I can even pretend to know any business intimately other than one that I start myself, but it would be hard. I feel like it would be hard pressed for like a major holding company like a WWP, as Emmy mentioned, to get themselves in bed with something like this. But I imagine that there is some allure for a small agency just trying to get their name out to link with something that is going to guarantee bylines. Emmy, do you see the allure for like a smaller agency trying to come up on the come up?
Well, I kind of think that the whole idea of these agencies aligning with Billy McFarland kind of speaks to, I mean, he said this, and I don't want to necessarily claim to agree with anything that he says, but it kind of makes sense where he's talking about how we're in like a content revolution of the ways that brands and agencies and just corporate America in general, they want to shy away from this like very buttoned up structure that Gen Z and maybe younger millennials like loathe. And they want to take more risks. And I think that some of these agencies are thinking, you know, the way that we're going to get people to – the way that we're going to express transparency and relatability is by doing something that like a corporation or huge company like WPP would never dare to do. Mm-hmm. So I think that they have interesting and sort of I think they have interesting and like thoughtful intentions behind it, but they're just taking it like too far. Cause you know, the whole concept of like the Duolingo owl being like super cheeky on TikTok, like it's mm-hmm. sort of like, for me, it feels like the same font, but just way too far.
Yeah. So as we kind of wrap up, what stage are we in this development? Like, is this is a relationship that I imagine is still moving forward? Yeah. What do you predict based on your many conversations around this?
Well, he's done a few different like scavenger hunt activations throughout New York City. And he's just trying to like, he's selling merch. Like, I think he's just trying to generate buzz around it, but he claims that he's buying out a hotel in the Bahamas and is going to send all these creators there, sort of similar to what he said he was doing with Firefest. And but the difference is, I said in the story, I was like, he's really a man of philanthropy. He's inviting in the people that wouldn't have been able to afford to go to Firefest. So he threw like virtual reality. So that's the plan. Who knows if that's actually going to come to fruition, but I think it'll be very interesting to see. And I think that people will want to go to this because it's like such a huge meme. Like, I know that people who went to Firefest kind of wear it as a badge of honor in a way. Mm-hmm. So I wonder if it's going to become like the very notable because of just how outrageous it is.
Colin, as a creator yourself, do you see any allure?
Babe, I am not going to the Bahamas for you to scam me and eat grilled cheese. Like, you got the wrong one. You are not tart. I'm not going to, like, this is not Dubai. No, absolutely not.
Well, with that, best of luck, Billy McFarland, and anyone else involved. I do, again, I cannot stress this enough. If you are able to hop on the internet right now, please read These Agencies Are Welcoming Firefest fraudster Bill McFarland. Billy McFarland, Home from Prison. It is such a meaty, meaty, wonderful read. Emmy did such an incredible job with it. And you will absolutely not regret it. Emmy, thank you so much for joining us and for being so candid per usual. I wouldn't expect anything less. and I don't know. Do we invite her back? Colin, you can be loose for me today. Do we invite her back?
You know what? I'd be curious. Like, I'm tantalized to have her back.
Colin, you know that you owe me for a variety of reasons not to get cryptic on this podcast. So are you about to say something negative?
I would never. Not in this economy.
I think that in order to survive in this economy, we need to start staging fights on podcasts. Yeah. So,
oh Lord,
let me know how that works.
Well, we will have we'll go off Slack. We'll go offline and talk about that and see what we come up with. And I make the final decision. This is already too much for me. So, thank you both, and thank you so much, Colin, for being a lovely guest co-host.
Ba da ba ba ba. I'm loving it.
Enough.
Okay, so I know that we had just signed off and we had said our goodbyes and I was supposed to go home and you were supposed to click off and do other things. But listen, this is really important. This is actually our 300th episode, which is a wild thing to say. And I mean, for such an important milestone, it was really important to have a very, very special guest. And we scoured the earth trying to figure out who would be special enough to sit with me for our 300th episode. And we could not think of a better, more fitting person than my co-host, Luz Corona. Luz!
It's me, everybody. Oh, what a disappointment.
No!
Hello, my
it's
friend.
Not. I missed you so much.
I missed you too. This feels great to be back on, even if it's just for like a moment in time. But thank you for holding down the fort. And 300, that is huge.
Man, who would have thought for the 300th episode it'd be you and me sitting here?
Not I. I did not. But it's an honor.
No. You are very much the most appropriate guest to have, and anyone who feels disappointed is a poopy head, to say the very less, at least in my professional
opinion.
Yes, my
4-year-old would agree.
But it's just so good to have you back. I have missed you so much. Even, like, do we know how many episodes you got under your belt before you had to step away from maternity leave? It wasn't much.
No, I missed you too. And I'm not sure. It's all a blur, but it's all like a fun blur. And I've been tuning into some of the episodes. This baby has got my hands full a little bit, so I'm not, you know. But yeah, I don't know. I just can't believe we made it to 300. But I mean, this is such a solid show, and I hope that we've been doing a good job of keeping it up, us too. I don't know how they trusted us too, but here we are.
In my humble opinion, I think we've been doing very well, and I'm curious to know, like, is there anything that you've, like, learned about, like, just yourself and podcasting in general since signing on?
Yeah. I mean, first of all, to even be on Adweek's like main podcast is such an honor. And then just learning, you know, just the art of conversation. That's really what podcasting is all about, right? Like, it's not just, you know, mm-hmm. getting on and catching up with an old friend like you would on a phone call. It's just like really tuning in and getting to listen to marketers talk about the latest and greatest and just getting a peek into different parts of the industry that we're not usually exposed to.
Yeah, definitely. I think there was a lot of intimidation that was sort of like baked into taking over the mantle. Like there's always like a little bit of nervousness that's imbued in something new, like entirely. And even though both of us definitely have prior podcasting experience, you know, this is obviously David Greiner and Tim Nutt's baby. And there was an ethos and a community that they've cultivated through this. And it's very nerve-wracking to basically inherit, Jesus, I am so tired. It's been a week. Inherit someone else's, like, vision, per se. Like, stepping into something that is already made. I think at first, I don't know if you felt this way, you could tell me, but you kind of feel, I felt kind of like, not cornered, because nobody cornered me, but like burdened almost. I don't know what the best word would be. I guess I felt the pressure of like carrying on this very specific legacy, even though I had been on the show for like a year before it, you know, sort of switched over to me and then ultimately you. But yeah, there's that pressure to sort of continue something that feels a little bit bigger than yourself. Did you feel that at all?
When 100%, especially since it was after Greiner was leaving to take on his next role, and who we miss like all the time. But when you approached me and, you know, asked if I would consider taking over after Greiner left, I said, are you sure? Because that is David Greiner leaving, our international editor, and then you got little old me. But yes, there's an insane amount of pressure. But you know what? I think that we bring the passion and the interest, and hopefully we ask the questions that our listeners want us to ask, you know, to our certain guests. And I hope we're making Greiner proud.
I'm positive. Okay,
great.
Yeah. I think that, like, there's this big thing of, like, when we were trying to figure out, like, who was going to sort of take over. And I think what, like, ended up freeing me was when I was like, Greiner, what am I going to do? And he was just like, whatever you want. And it was that simple. It was just that simple. So when you're like, what are, like, when you're like, well, what am I, what should I do? Like, it's literally our thing. Let's just do what we want. And so, and that takes, it takes a while to believe that. Cause like, you know, someone can tell you like, oh, don't worry. And then you're like, no, I'm going to worry. I'm going to worry for a little bit. But now, like, it just feels like it feels like a good marriage between like what everyone understands about this probably ad and what it can be with two different people at the helm, and now it just feels inherently ours. And it's like, just as we were getting to our groove, we were like, all right, well, gotta go have this baby. Bye.
It was like the day of the recording for the Uber Eats episode. And, you know, contractions started happening and all that. And it's like, I got meetings later. This is not the time for this right now. 12 days early? Come on. But no, that episode was really good that you did with Jay-Z. So that was enjoyable. But Shannon, I have a question for you, my friend, since we're kind of reminiscing.
Sure.
You know, do you have like a favorite episode of That's Probably an Ad in your time here?
Oh my gosh. Like, I've done so many of them now and they just kind of like merge together. I feel like the one that sticks with me. There's one episode that sticks with me, and then is going to be hard. There are two episodes that stick with me, and then one segment that sticks with me. So I'm going to cheat and expand my answer far beyond what you actually asked.
Cheat.
But the first episode that ended up being like my favorite was the McDonald's episode where we're going over the McDonald's famous meals.
Yes.
Just because it seemed like a meeting of the minds. That was myself, Greiner, senior reporter Emmy Lederman, and Jay-Z, and we were sort of going over the different meals that they had done, and that by that time they had only done four, and the just sort of trading off and talking about this this very like specific thing with a level of expertise that was kind of wild.
Just an analytical lens on the celebrity meals at McDonald's.
Yeah, like it was just like just a very like nerdy thing to do, and it did end up being like my absolute favorite. It was a really good balance between like just fun and chaos,
because that sparked a rivalry, a pickle-related rivalry between Jay-Z and, like, I think, like, the rest of the internet. And also Emmy as the Gen Zer and Jay-Z as the millennial. It was just a fun episode all around. And the second favorite episode, I think it was me, you, and Al, when we were just talking about, like, nerdy marketing, yes. like nerd culture marketing, just because it was a great expertise. It was like another set of expertise. Like, in terms of, like, the three of us, I think we're all pretty open about how much we're learning still, even though we are very much experts in marketing, we're still learning a lot about right. marketing. But like Al Manarino, our producer, shout out to Al, is, you know, very much impassioned when it comes to nerd culture. And it's really cool to be able to talk to him at that level of expertise right. And imbue that in the episode. And so that's something that really stood out to me. And it also made me realize that there was a great chemistry here between, like, this little yeah. team of ours. And then my favorite segment of all time was me and David Greiner got to try ice cream on the air. It was the scoop. There it is. Special edition.
That's amazing.
Ice cream. And we got to try that one on air. And it was so, like, I didn't know that was something that we could do. And I was like, oh, we really can do whatever we want on this yes. show. And so that was my favorite episode. I know that there's probably going to be some surprise, even producer side, we're going to be like, so not the Matthew McConaughey episode?
I was going to ask you that. So,
and obviously that was a huge moment for Yeah, That's Probably an Ad, because we are not traditionally an interview show, as right. people know. Like, it's very rare that we bring on outside guests. We try to really keep things in-house. And that was a thing where, you know, we did not seek out Matthew McConaughey. That was something that their people pitched us. And we were like, yes. yeah, absolutely. Come on. Of course. And it was so, so cool. And it was so celebratory afterwards to, like, do this thing that we had no idea was within our capability or wow. wheelhouse. And it turned out so well. And, of course, that is a favorite. But I think, in terms of, like, what really brings me back each time is being able to reconnect with my colleagues, because I love yeah. them so much and they're just so smart and cool. And so those, I think, are my favorites, just a little bit beyond, like, the celebrity angle. Now, by all means, if you are an A-list celebrity and you want to come on, yeah, that's probably an ad. By all means, red carpet. We will talk about whatever marketing things you want yes, to talk about.
Anything.
We will make yep. this work. But yeah, those are my favorites. What about you?
You know, I'd say the one that I really nerded out on was the episode we had with Ben, the company Ben. And we talked about product placement and Stranger Things and just, like, what a role it plays now. And I think my biggest takeaway, besides, like, finding out what really goes into, and, you know, the difference between, like, branded content versus, like, you know, just very organic content, kind of diving into that, but just discovering that there is a prop master on sets. And I would still love for that to be a future episode. So,
I mean, if you want yeah. it, we can do it. Like, that is the beauty of kind of manning our own ship. I'm curious, now that we're kind of, like, talking about, like, future episodes we want to do, what is something really out there that you want to, like, bring to the show? We have this thing that we can mold into whatever we want. I'm wondering what you're excited to do when you ultimately come back.
Yeah. I mean, I think right now it's an influencer's world, right? So I would love to talk to more influencers and just kind of get a behind the scenes there. And you know, and kind of educating marketers and brands on how best to work with influencers, just because from past experience, like, you know, when you're trying to fit this person to represent your brand into this mold that doesn't exactly fit their brand, it doesn't come off right. So, you know, I would just love to speak to influencers about their different experiences. And then Avi, A-list celebrities, anybody who needs some branding conversations, we are here for you. And yeah, I mean, our industry is ever evolving, right? So there's going to be things this year that we can't even think of that's going to come up in the industry. So obviously we always want to stay on top of that. And that's my ramble, more influencers and just whatever's coming next. What about you, Shannon?
Yeah. I am really obsessed with this idea of doing like a multi-sensory episode. I don't know, like, I'm sitting on how we can do that, but like how, like, everyone hears our very dulcet tones and I'm sure that they are very comforted by our voices, right? But like, what does a that's probably an ad episode in terms of smell? What does it taste like? What does it feel like?
Right.
Something that can sort of bring just like another sense to the at-home listener. I am really into doing more like trying things out and on the air. Like, we had that ice cream episode, tasting the ice cream. We've, you know, had bourbon on the air with Matthew McConaughey.
So bummed I missed that.
Which that was something. And like, what else can we do? What else can we try? Like, you know, like, as like cannabis grows into a big thing, like, we're like on the cusp of, I think, some real innovation in that space. Like, you know, can we safely and professionally try a product that is going to be for consumers on the air? Yeah. Do we do taste tests?
Yes.
Can we send us wine, please?
Just any gummies, anything. Or what if we take this more experiential route too? And like, you know, what if we conduct our recordings from NASCAR? I don't know. Like, you know,
that would be inside a NASCAR. I would love to actually record an episode inside a NASCAR.
Yes.
And talk about NASCAR. So NASCAR, hit us up. One thing while we're asking for things.
Cars, booze, while gummies.
Cars, booze. I have been, my white whale as of a product as a consumer is Arizona Tea is making a hard version of the green tea.
Wow.
Like, they have made it. It is very much, I think it's very much available in Canada, but I am in the U.S., and I have expressed this across multiple episodes now, Arizona, that I am a diehard fan of the brand and the brand's mission. I want the Arizona Tea folks on, yeah, that's probably an ad, to discuss strategy and like how they've been able to sort of keep their brand ethos intact.
Yes.
Like, through like a ridiculous economic like swing, because like, again, there's just a culture around Arizona. Yeah. And I want to do so while sipping hard green tea. And I don't think that is far beyond the realm of possibility.
Yes.
So
yeah,
a shameless ask.
This could be you, Arizona, but you're playing. We gotta do it. Or enjoying these products in the settings that they're meant to be enjoyed. So, you know, drinking like an Arizona hard iced tea, and I don't know, what is the most Arizona setting? I don't know.
Your car on a road trip.
Yes. Preferably not driving if you're drinking the hard version of it, but
right.
Passenger seat. Or I don't know. Yes. All right. We got a lot of work to do, Shannon. We're popping with ideas.
We are. We're giving a lot of these away for free. Do not. These are Luz and Shannon originals. that are you can only find on, yeah, that's probably an ad, part of the Adweek Podcast Network. And yeah, I'm just really excited about the future and being able to sort of shape this thing however we want to. And I think that that's really the important takeaway, is that, like, if you're going into something that's an institution, like, yeah, that's probably an ad, even in its 300th episode, like, once something is yours, it's yours. And, like, you should not feel like you are underqualified to handle a thing. Yeah. Like, that's especially, like, it's significant that, you know, it's two women of color manning this thing and really doing things how we want to do them. That's really big. Yeah. And I'm so happy that I just get to do this with you. I could not imagine this with anyone else.
Right back at you, friend. Thank you.
Of course. So I'm really excited for what is to come. And maybe our producer, Al Manarino, will stick around. We don't know.
Yeah.
Maybe we'll keep him. He's been doing pretty well.
Yeah, he's doing all right. He's really just taking this by storm. Well, Al, if you can make a NASCAR recording happen, then, you know, then you really won our hearts.
Job securita. That is what
we'll really vouch for you.
So I don't know. I really don't know what else to say. This is just a big moment for us and for, I think, Adweek Podcast in general. Like, you know, just thank you. And thank you, you know, people at home. Like, I don't, I know that Luz hasn't had really an opportunity to, like, wander out into the world at, post YTPAA fame. Like, she started when she was, like, on the cusp of maternity leave. But when I go out into the world and do, and, you know, speak to the communities and do all this stuff, there's so much amazing feedback that comes back about the show, how it's a necessary habit for people who are interested in marketing, not just, like, marketers, but people who are really looking into this industry in general. And that makes me feel incredibly proud and honored to be a part of this thing, because you really don't realize how much of an impact it has outside of your home, because we record from our homes. Yeah. We, you know, just, it's really hard to gauge the scope of something when you're remote, but it really does have a huge impact on our industry. And the fact that we get to sort of be these experts in this field and sort of help the industry learn things that's not something that we take lightly. We take that as a huge responsibility. Yeah. And that is not possible without the listenership, the loyal listenership of you all. So just a huge thank you to you all. We're gonna bring some cool stuff.
Yes. Yeah.
To you, because it's what you deserve.
And if anyone has any ideas, we want to hear from our readers and listeners, you know, like, you know, what if you're interested in anything, and if you really want us to record from NASCAR, I mean, it doesn't matter. We're going to do it anyway. But, you know. But yes, I second everything you said, Shannon. It's an honor to run the show with you.
Aw, thanks. Yes, please send your suggestions to podcast@adweek.com. That is podcast@adweek.com. Make sure to send that over. Say hi. Let us know what your favorite episodes are and what we can do more of. And yeah, this has just been a wild ride.
Yeah. Happy 300th.
Happy 300th to you, Luz, and to you at home. Thank you so much.
Thanks. Bye.
Thank you for listening to Yeah, That's Probably an Ad, part of the Adweek Podcast Network and Acast Creator Network. This podcast was produced by me, Al Manarino, executive produced by Chris Ahrens and John Heil, and edited by Lane McGivney at Boutwell Studios. You can listen and subscribe to all of Adweek's podcasts by visiting adweek.com/podcasts. Stay updated on all things Adweek Podcast Network by following us on Twitter @AdweekPodcast. And if you have a question or suggestion for the show, send us an email at podcast@adweek.com. Thanks for listening.
Hey there, podcast fam. Are you ready to break free from the social media rut? Hold on to your hats, because we've got just the thing for you. Meet Viral Growth, your one-stop shop for leveling up your online presence. Whether you're a personal brand or a company, they've got the tools and know-how to take you to the next level. With Viral Growth, forget about those endless hours of video editing. They handle everything from brainstorming to polishing your content, so you can just focus on being awesome. And guess what? We're hooking you up with a sweet deal. Use code ADWEEK for 10% off when you sign up. Ready to take your social media game to the next level? Head on over to viralgrowth.io and let's turn those digital dreams into a reality.